You are listening to the Unity Now podcast featuring the Reverend Sean Birch, the pastor of Spirit of Unity Baptist Church in Roanoke, Virginia. In this podcast, you will hear powerful messages from Pastor Birch and other ministers that tell of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. These messages will inspire, challenge, and help you grow in your relationship with God. I hope you're ready. I know I am. Let's be blessed by today's message.
But the month of July, the first Sunday in July, will begin a series called It. Somebody say It.
It.
And no, I'm not talking about the scary clown. Not at all. It. We're going to discuss what some of the it's that we encounter throughout this month. My hope and prayer is that it leads to healing, hope, and also strengthen your faith. Let us look into a familiar text, but maybe presented a little bit differently today. That will be John, the third chapter, verses 16 through 18. John, the third chapter, verses 16 through 18. John, the third chapter, verses 16 through 18. The Gospel of John, the third chapter, verses 16 through 18. This morning, I will actually be reading from the Message Bible because I loved how the Message Bible put a certain phrase in a certain way that led to the sermon title this morning. Text says from the Message Bible, verse 16, "This is how much God loved the world. He gave his son, his one and only son. And this is why, so that no one need be destroyed." You should have been shouting right there. "By believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help to put the world right again. Anyone who trusts in him is acquitted. Anyone who refuses to trust him has long since been under the death sentence without knowing it. And why? Because of that person's failure to believe in the one-of-a-kind Son of God when introduced to him." Amen. 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 Let's pray. Sovereign God, we come to you right now saying thank you. Amen. We thank you, O God, for blessing us. We thank you, O God, for keeping us. Now, as I stand behind this sacred desk, I realize it's preaching time. And so, God, I'm asking that you have thine own way with this earthen vessel you call Sean Birch, that you deal with the mess that's in this earthen vessel so it does not get in the way of the miraculous possibilities that you will have through your word. God, I plead with you to have thine own way right now. Lift up every heart and every mind. God, help those that are in a state of brokenness. Help our broken world. Help our broken society. Help our children that feel broken. God, we need your help this morning. So we lean on you to help us. We lean on you to make it right. We lean on you to lead and guide us every step of the way. God, have thine own way right now. In Jesus' name, let the people of God say amen.
Amen,
amen and amen. The subject that I want to leave with you, or rather I tag this text, fix it. Fix it. Fix it. Somebody turn to the neighbor and say, neighbor, fix it. Oh, y'all ahead of me this morning. Y'all need some fixing in your lives. Need you to turn to your other neighbor and say, hey, neighbor.
Hey, neighbor.
Fix it.
Fix it.
Now I need you to find somebody that you got beef with, because you know here at Spirit of Unity Baptist Church, we're going to take that beef, cook it, grill it, and eat it. Find that person, locate that person, give them the same smile that you gave your other two neighbors and say, hey, neighbor.
Hey, neighbor.
Yes, you, neighbor.
Yes, you, neighbor.
Fix it. Fix it. Yes. I told you I was energized this morning, man. There are two views of the Creator creating from the very beginning. Some people have been introduced to God creating something out of nothingness. You know, where there is this blank canvas, and all of a sudden God starts calling stuff, and then divine paint hits the canvas and creates the cosmos out of nothing. Then there is another perspective of the creation account where the ancient scriptures tell us that the earth was a formless void and darkness covered the face of the deep. It is here where we are being told in Genesis 1 that the earth was an out of order, chaotic mess. In other words, in the beginning, there was nothing but disarray, discord, and disorder. Therefore, we encounter a beginning that was essentially broken. We all have been broken by some extreme circumstances in our lives and left feeling like nothing is going to work or going to work any longer or going to work out for us. Even now, we live in a modern world where our lower and higher courts appear to be broken. Political allegiances have caused people to have discord and disjointedness with each other, leaving family and friend relationships broken. We exist in a nation where over 400,000 children are in the foster child welfare system, facing poverty, homelessness, abuse, and neglect, broken. These foster children are in a fractured system, leaving them with feelings of brokenness. Something is not right, my family. Something just doesn't settle in my heart and in my spirit. Something leaves me feeling on the edge and unease as we find ourselves in a chaotic mess where systems are broken, schools are broken, societies are broken, families are broken, and yes, church seems to be broken. However, somebody say however. In times like these, the text teaches us that when God encounters broken people, a broken world, and broken things, that God will fix it. Yeah. Much like the beginning of time, God took chaos and made order. God fixed it. The extreme circumstances that could have and should have taken us out, God fixed it. Yeah, the things that should have kept us crying at night, God fixed it. You know, those people that should have destroyed us a long time ago, God fixed it. God stepped in. God made a way. God opened the door. God helped you out. You want to sit down and act like you have been fixing it yourself? Baby, you haven't been fixing it yourself. It has been God that has been fixing it. So, if God can fix the brokenness in the beginning, if God can take chaos and make order, then I believe God can fix our brokenness, fix what broke us, fix hostile environments, fix our households, fix our marriages, fix our minds, fix our broken hearts, fix our relationships, fix our hearts. Yes, even when our hearts are smashed and shattered into bits and pieces, God has the power to fix it. So, why does God choose to fix it for damaged people? Why does God choose to fix it for damaged people? God chooses to fix it for damaged people because God loves us. Amen. The text says it like this in verse 16. This is how much God loved the world. He gave his son, his one and only son. And this is why, so that no one need be destroyed by believing in him. Anyone can have a whole and lasting life. God loves us. Now, I need you to personalize it this morning, because somebody came in here thinking that no one loves them. Someone came in here thinking that they are loveless. Someone came in here thinking that no one doesn't want to put up with them. But today, you need to just pat your chest and say, God loves me. God loves me. God loves us. In the text today, we find that Jesus and Nicodemus are engaged in a deep conversation about being born again. It's funny because Nicodemus's understanding of being born again seems broken as he looks at it from the physical perspective versus a spiritual one. Jesus teaches us how God's love for us gave us God's Son, and that this precious gift to the world will give us eternal life if we only believe in the only Son of God. Now, let's clarify this for a moment. God only has one son. God doesn't have two sons. God does not have three children. God has one child. And that one child is a boy that he sent from heaven to be on this earth, to grow up as a man, to go and suffer and be persecuted, to die on an old rugged cross. This one and only son who died on Calvary's cross was also the one and only son that rose up from the grave with all power in his hands. And so when we seek Jesus to fix it for us, we know that Jesus has the credentials and the background to fix it for us, because when Jesus was in the worst conditions of his life, God fixed it for him. And so if God can do it for his only begotten son, you better believe God can do it for us. Somebody say, fix it. This love is the type of love that looks beyond our faults and sees our need to be loved on and lifted up out of sin and brokenness. For God so loved the world, for God so loved us, that God doesn't want destruction and disorder for our lives, but God wants us to have eternal life. Somebody say eternal life. Now, there are some scholars that have a treatment of this text, and some scholars would say, I quote, eternal life does not speak of immortality or a future life in heaven, but is a metaphor for living now in the unending presence of God, end quote. However, this crazy young preacher believes that eternal life is referencing life in heaven with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, in addition to God's love giving us a new life with God here on earth as we're walking each and every day. In other words, you think you walk by yourself? No. You think you're all alone? No. You think you're being challenged by the world by yourself? No. Because I believe that Jesus walks with us and talks with us. God is ever present right here with us. But I also believe that eternal life does speak of a residency that is forever and ever in heaven with God the Father. Yeah, this eternal life of forever residency with God and an unending presence of God is what will make us be and feel whole again. Yeah, we got some love in our world today, a love that will only please your flesh, a love that's only temporary. Some people's love is unexplainable. Oh, you know I love you. But when you're broken and going through the hardest moments of your life, folk will tell you real quick, I don't want to put up with you. But love will answer the phone when a member needs someone to talk to late at night, or a brother and sister need someone to talk to late at night. Love will pick up the phone and not only just pick up the phone, but listen to that person and listen to them as long as it takes. If it takes an hour, it takes an hour. If it takes 2 hours, it takes 2 hours. God been putting up with us forever and ever and ever. So what is wrong with us taking time to love each other like God has loved us? Yeah. This love is not a trickster love. This love is a love that is patient. This love is a love that is kind, but this love is a love with an ultimate goal of leading us to wholeness. Because God does not like it when we are broken. Creation in the beginning, if we go with the fact of what Genesis tells us in the beginning, there was brokenness in the beginning. There was a formless void, broken, until God comes on the scene and makes everything right. I stopped by to let you know today that something doesn't feel right in your life. You've questioned it. You know it. But I'm happy to report today that although it don't feel right, God still loves you when it doesn't feel right. And God will love you through it so he can make it right. So why does God choose to fix it for damaged people? Well, we just learned that God chooses to fix it for damaged people because God loves us. Somebody say, God loves me. Well, the next thing we need to consider is that God chooses to fix it for damaged people because God knew we were in trouble. Did you catch that? God chooses to fix it for damaged people because God knew we were in trouble. The text says it like this in verse 17. God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help. Somebody say help. To put the world right again. How many of us in here today are in trouble? Thank y'all for raising your hand. We live in a world today where people are afraid to let somebody else know when they're in trouble. In fact, as flesh, as human beings, I can see why we draw to the darkness. Because in the dark, there's an absence of light. And if there's no light, no one can see the stuff that's going on in my life. No one can see the fact that I shoot drugs, not me shoot drugs, but there are people who shoot drugs when they're in a deep depression or when they're low. There are folk who sell their bodies just to make up for extra income. Oh, y'all don't want to talk to me this morning. These are real issues that are existing in our broken world. We have children who feel as if no one loves them. And so as they look for an alternative family, there's no wonder why they turn to gangs. When they could be turning to the church, turning to a neighbor, turning to the school, turning to an adult that can lead them the right way. The reality is, yes, we are damaged, we are messed up, but we don't have to live like we're messed up forever. We don't have to live like we're in trouble all the time. And so the amazing thing is, even though Sean Birch can hide my stuff from you, there's one person I can't hide from. Some of you get nervous. Well, Pastor, I don't want to tell everybody. Well, there's one person you can't hide it from. And I get it, because even the text tells us that God didn't go through all the trouble to send his only begotten son so that he can point an accusing finger. God is not Satan. He is not the accuser of the brethren. And so God is not setting you up so he can point his finger at you and say, you are bad, you are bad, you are bad. No, God is not doing that. But then why are we doing it to one another? They ain't hear me. I know I messed up a long time ago. What gives you the permission to keep reminding me about my mess ups? I know I've fallen and I can't get up. But why do you keep pointing your finger at me like I can't recover? I know I'm damaged goods. But I also know that in the midst of my brokenness, in the midst of me being damaged, that I serve a God. Oh, I wish somebody would testify with me that in the midst of your brokenness, in the midst of your hurt, in the midst of your pain, we serve a God that will put hands on us instead of pointing fingers at us, that will hold us, hug us, love us, lift us, give us hope for a better future. So even though my neighbors, even though my brothers and sisters may not know, and I have to bear responsibility, know my full pain, I know that God knows. All right. All right. And God knew that we were in trouble. All right. And so God, knowing that we were in trouble, God does not waste time to remind us about how bad we are. God knows it already, and God knows that we know already. God's goal is to help us. If you know someone is in trouble, are you going to stand there and just watch? What makes me angry about the generation that we're in, and when I say the generation that we're in, I'm not even pointing my fingers at young people, because we got some ignorant adults that do this as well. I haven't even gotten to the point, but you already started clapping. We live in a society where when we see people in trouble, the first thing that folk want to do is pull out their phone and record it on Facebook Live. Oh, you want to act like you haven't seen it. Maybe we have been guilty of it. Somebody need bread, but you're recording giving them a sandwich. Somebody need to be ministered to and they're crying and they're sitting on the corner, hopeless. But we're recording their pain. There are people who are in pain. There are people who are damaged. There are people who are in trouble. And instead of you pointing the finger, taking the Facebook eye out, they don't need you to take the Facebook eye out. They don't need you to take your phone out. They don't need you to record their pain. They don't need you to record their suffering, but they need you to help them. We live in a generation where it's okay to record somebody getting beat up senselessly before a large audience. We think it's okay to be on the sidelines and just record it so that we can get a lot of likes, hits, hearts, love, shocking emojis, crying emojis. But no, we can't do this at all. Jesus teaches and Jesus shows us that when we see people in trouble, that our first instinct is to help them and make it right. Now, we can go into a great debate on what right is, but I think there's just some common sense stuff that we can make right in somebody's life. If someone is hungry, give them food. If they're homeless, let's work hard to find shelter for them. And if you don't feel comfortable with somebody being in your house, there are other resources in the Roanoke Valley you can point people to ensure they do not be camping out in the woods at night. There are simple and practical things that we can do when people are in trouble. And there were just some simple and practical things that God did. Actually, it to a human being, it's really difficult to give up your only child. To a human being, could you really see yourself sacrificing your child for folk that don't listen? For folk that will turn on you? I said this years ago, I don't know if I would give up Amore or Selena for y'all crazy people. And vice versa, you would say that about me too. It's hard for us to step up in that type of way when trouble is wrecking our lives. But God saw humanity in trouble, broken, fragmented, and God said, I got to make it right. Aren't you glad that God was willing to do what Sean couldn't do, what you couldn't do, and gave up his only begotten son? Simply because God wanted to make it right. In a world full of wrong, when people do you wrong, people treat you wrong, people tear you down and hurt you real bad, aren't you glad we serve a heavenly Father who is about trying to make it right again?
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, yeah, I'm about to go down the road. If I had it my way, Jesus would be the president of the world. Okay? It's interesting that in this campaign moment, Jesus says God's word says that Jesus said that he's committed to putting the world right again. There is a slogan that says, make America great again. God ain't interested in making America great again. God is interested in making the world right again by having a right relationship with God the Father. And the moment we can have a right relationship with God again is the moment we can truly start living in peace with one another. I know my God is a fixer. Yes, our country has been through slavery. And yes, our country has had some damaging moments. And yes, we have had moments of horrific times in Jim Crow. But my God is a fixer. Black people are no longer enslaved. And even though there's hints of racism, I'm telling you, God is still great. Why? Because in this century now, we can come together, black, white, Chinese, Indian, and worship the Lord our God together. When it's broken, God can fix it.
Hallelujah.
So, we see that why does God choose to fix it for damaged people? Well, God chooses to fix it for damaged people because we learn that God loves us. We also learn that God chooses to fix it for damaged people because God knew we were in trouble. And God refused to stand on the sideline while we were in trouble. Finally, God chooses to fix it for damaged people because God knew we needed someone to trust. God chooses to fix it for damaged people because God knew we needed someone to trust. The text simply says it like this in verse 18. Anyone who trusts in him is acquitted. Anyone who refuses to trust him has long since been under the death sentence without knowing it. They haven't known it because they didn't trust him. But my hope is that somebody here today or on Facebook will begin to trust him after hearing this sermon. And why, Jesus says? Because of that person's failure to believe in the one of a kind Son of God who introduced himself.
All right.
Growing up in foster care was not easy for me. But I reflect after seeing the movie Songs of Hope, there was a foster child that was put in a home and with the hopes of leading towards adoption. This child in the home, and this is based off a true story, this child in the home had different types of mechanisms or coping mechanisms to cope with the pain in her life. Yeah, you never know, because somebody looks nice or dress nice doesn't mean that they feel nice on the inside about themselves. This little girl was broken in the movie. This little girl was in pain. This little girl was damaged and she needed someone to fix her. The problem that I noticed quickly is that she couldn't even reach wholeness because she lacked the necessary trust in people. It's hard to trust other people. It's hard to trust God, even when you have went through hell in your life as a young child, going through sexual abuse and feeling all types of damage about yourself, feeling that you're loveless, feeling that you're not worthy, feeling that you're not beautiful, feeling that you are a failure. This little girl went through just the worst times of her life. And so in trying to start new relationships, she lacked the ability to trust. And because she lacked the ability to trust, she didn't really understand what type of hurt she was really going through. She started taking her actions out in other ways, making things complicated. And it's not to say or point the finger at her, because she had some experiences that caused her to react to people a different way. It was hard for her to really try to call her foster mom or adoptive mother mom, because her mother was so brutal to her. And when I say brutal, she got hit by her own birth mother. It's hard to trust her father because we don't know what that relationship was like with her father. Was the father present? Was the father there? She saw the different actions between the foster parents and the other children in the household. You could tell in her eyes this is something she had yearned for, but she was being barricaded with distrust. But it is here that we see in this text that if we are going to find wholeness, then baby, you got to start trusting somebody. You got to start trusting somebody. You got to start reaching out to someone. You got to start tearing down your own personal barriers. And so if you can't trust another human being, then maybe there's one person you can trust, and that's God. Maybe the first person you need to trust is God, because God has the power to acquit you from the damaged past. God has the power to be able to reshape and remold you again. In this movie, this little girl had witnessed other people getting baptized. And in seeing and witnessing people getting baptized, she was asking, what does that mean? And she understood it to mean that when she gets dipped down in the water, she will rise up as a new person and a new creation. And so in the movie, she ran away and everybody was looking for her. But I noticed that she was wearing all white, like somebody would wear an all white robe preparing to get baptized. And we find her running to a big lake. The problem was, I was scared for the baby because her mindset in that movie wasn't right. She said she didn't want to live with herself. She said that she didn't want to live anymore. She wanted to die. And so I'm thinking, oh my God, she's going to kill herself. But in the movie, she just steps in the water and then lays back and dips down in the water. And then she does come back up. And then towards the end, we see her laying down on the grass, and the foster mother, adoptive mother, comes up to her and lays right next to her. And then she looked at her adoptive mom. She says, am I a new person now? The mom felt her body in her clothes and realized that she dipped herself in the water. And when she realized she dipped herself in the water, the mother said, yes, baby, you are new again. And all I just want to tell somebody is that when you're broken and you try to go to everybody else to fix your problems, sometimes you need to take a dip in with Jesus, and Jesus will fix your mind. Jesus will fix your heart. Jesus will fix your soul. Jesus will make you a brand new creature again if you're willing to be transformed. There is a song that says, on my way home, and on my way home, on my way home. Fix it, Jesus. Fix it like you said you would. Look, the song says, I have cried sometimes. I have cried and I have shed some tears. Sometimes singing with tears in my eyes. Fix it, Jesus. Fix it like you said you would. Friends got few sometimes. And we all know about friends appearing and disappearing. Friends got few. People didn't show up. Fix it, Jesus. Fix it like you said you would. I've been hurt. Jesus, fix it like you said you would. Sin has been ruining my life. Fix it, Jesus, like you said you would. Hope coming against me. Fix it, Jesus, like you said you would. You can sit down all you want, act cute like everything all right, but I am admitting today that I need Jesus to fix it like he said he would. Somebody say, fix it.
Fix it.
Fix it.
Fix it.
Fix it. Stand to your feet.
Thank you.